Turning now to the situation across the water, where this weekend the Conservative Party is looking at its options for a new leader, or maybe the return of an old leader. I can tell you the latest in terms of the runners and riders in terms of nominations this lunchtime. Most people now counting are saying Rishi Sunak has surpassed the 100 nominations mark. Then it depends on whose count you're looking at as regards Boris Johnson. Sky News putting him on 48, while the political website Guido Fawkes has him on 71 nominations. I think a number of them, though, are anonymous. And the only candidate that's actually declared now, Penny Mordaunt, has either 20 or 25 nominations, depending on who's counting. Gregory Campbell, DUP MP for East Derry. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Gregory, while we can't tear our eyes off the political car crash in Westminster, the deadline by which power sharing and Stormont must be back up and running to avoid an election is also almost upon us. The Irish Times reporting today that it's beginning to look a lot like a Christmas election. Would you agree?
Well, it's certainly becoming more likely. And I suppose the next week will be taken up with the ongoing issue about who's going to be the next Prime Minister. And therefore, that will probably mean the establishment of either an election or the EU making some sort of announcement on the protocol is probably going to take a back stage, I would have thought. It would probably mean a step back, and people will just be biding time over the course of the next 6 or 7 days, I would have thought.
Do you expect an extension to be announced at the last minute?
Well, I don't know. I think most people anticipated that that while the Secretary of State would say that there was going to be an election if agreement wasn't reached on an executive being formed by next Friday, that over the course of the past couple of weeks that would have probably been changed. But he seems to have hardened his stance and dug himself in, and he keeps maintaining there will definitely be an election. I think we just have to wait and see. That's all we can do. We're prepared for either eventuality.
Okay. Which of the potential new leaders of the Tory party would be the best Prime Minister for Northern Ireland, in your view?
Well, I've answered that question a few times to people, and I can well understand members of the public answering the question because, as you rightly called it, runners and riders, and you just speculate on who you think might be the better candidate. I think it is extremely unwise for any member of another political party to speculate. And for the very simple reason, if I were to outline who I think would be the better person for unionism to be in number 10 Downing Street, and that person doesn't become the next Prime Minister, the person who does will probably remember that we backed the other horse. So why on earth would we take that chance? We work with whoever wins.
Your former party leader, Arlene Foster, didn't feel so constrained. She said that Boris would be the better option, better than Rishi Sunak. In any case, but you're not going to go there for me, are you?
No, I'm not. No. We'll work with whoever it is emerges as the next Prime Minister, and that's just a political reality. We will work with them, so it's best if we simply bide our time, and then next Friday's not long in coming around, and we then start afresh with the new Prime Minister.
You were big fans of Liz Truss, though, weren't you? I mean, the DUP saw her as the one pushing the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill to scrap those parts of Brexit that you never wanted.
Well, she was certainly the author of the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill. I wouldn't say we were big fans of her because I answered the question that you're putting to me now. I answered several months ago in exactly the same way when people said, look, is Liz Truss your preferred choice? I said, look, for the same reasons, why on earth would I pick out a winner and then that person doesn't win? And someone might say, you may have been better then not to say anything in advance of the race being concluded. So, she was the author of the bill. Hopefully the new Prime Minister comes in. They have to deal with the same problem. You know, some people have said, well, the main runners and riders aren't as focused on the protocol as we would like. That becomes a different, completely different ballgame the moment they go into Downing Street, because that there it is in their in tray and has to be dealt with, whatever their attitude was in the past.
I know, Geoffrey Campbell, you weren't in Westminster to witness those extraordinary scenes during that vote on the fracking bill that, we were talking about Tory MPs being manhandled into the division lobby. But the atmosphere over there must be fairly febrile now.
It certainly is. And there's all sorts of discussions and whisperings in the corridor, in the tea room, and elsewhere. And, you know, I think we're probably going to see over the next 48 hours exactly where the land lies, because, you know, it looks at the moment that Penny Mordaunt will have an uphill struggle to get past 100 if she's only got about 25 backers at the moment. So it may well be a Sunak versus Johnson runoff, but we'll have a better idea of that on Monday.
I know before you were asked about Boris Johnson, you wouldn't give the straight answer in 2019 about whether you trusted him.
Yeah, that's right. And boy, wasn't I right there.
So your view has your view hardened, shall we say, on that in the intervening period?
No, I wouldn't say it has hardened. I mean, we've just got to take people as we find them, you know, and I always use not just a pinch of salt, but an absolute bucketful of salt whenever any person coming in assures and promises that this is what they'll do, and that's, you know, the absolute reassurance that this we're going to sort this. And our answer always is, well, we listen to your words, now let's see your action. And that's, you know, whoever comes in through the door in Downing Street next Friday, or if it's before that, they need to then demonstrate by their action what they're going to do with the EU to sort the problem of the protocol. Because we heard just yesterday, I think it was, in a House of Lords committee, that one of the biggest hauliers in Northern Ireland said that if there was a rigid implementation of the protocol, business would grind to a halt within 48 hours. So that's how bad it could potentially be. That's why it has to be sorted, whoever the new incumbent is in Downing Street.
Okay, we'll leave it there, Gregory Campbell. And apologies, I believe I misspoke and threw Geoffrey into your name earlier on. Gregory Campbell, DUP MP for East Londonderry, many thanks for joining us today. Minister Martin Hayden, like, it's just a few weeks ago when we thought we were going to be dealing with Liz Truss as Prime Minister, and Boris Johnson looked like he was very much in the rearview mirror. Taoiseach Micheál Martin said then that this offered a new hope that we could reset Ireland-UK relations. Could we be going back to the future?
Well, I think if the last week proves anything, it improves the importance of political stability for countries. And political stability, I think, is something we take for granted until we don't have it. And we see how that has played out and how damaging that has been for the British economy. I won't get into predicting who will come through that. Like Gregory, we in the Irish government will work with whoever the new leader is. I wouldn't profess to tell the Conservatives who to pick, because I would take grave exception if any British politician told us how to run our affairs over here. But the fact is that Britain remains to be our closest trading partner. And if you just look at the area of ag food in my role in the Department of Agriculture, they account for a third of all of our exports. Yeah, in the first 8 months of this year, ag food, Irish food and drink exports to the UK was worth €4.3 billion. So that phrase is in my mind as when Britain sneezes, Ireland can get the cold. We have reduced our dependency on the UK market. We are growing new markets outside of that since Brexit, and we have reduced it, but it's still a hugely important market to us. So, you know, it's in our interest in Ireland that UK is going well. So I wish whoever gets that new role as Prime Minister well in that.
Do you think Boris Johnson actually could want this? I know everyone is quoting that text that he sent to his friend, the MP, James Dudderidge. I'm flying back, Dudders. We're going to do this. I'm up for it. Do you buy that?
Oh, yeah, I would. Because I'd imagine he feels he has unfinished business. I'd imagine he feels hurt by how his premiership ended. I've no doubt he'd like to get back in. I've no doubt of that.
Paul Murphy, if you were going to call it.
I think you can't discount Johnson, because you can't underestimate the capacity of the Tory membership. And that's the issue here, is that the Tory membership, you know, was happy to back Liz Truss by going for very right-wing, very Thatcherite agenda, war on woke, war on trans people, war on migrants, you know, and they backed her. Then that touches reality and it collapses. And I think they're liable to do the same again. I mean, you have 170,000 people who are disproportionately old, disproportionately white, disproportionately male, and disproportionately based in richer areas in the south of England. And I think it points to a fundamental democratic deficit here, which is the idea is that are these people, or even worse, just a couple of hundred of MPs, if they don't manage to get two over the line of the 100 threshold, going to get to decide who the next Prime Minister of Britain is? Or surely there should be a general election and people themselves should get to pass a judgment.
Marion Harkin, what do you think is the prospects that this whole business will ultimately collapse in on itself, and there will be a general election in the near future, and possibly you'd have to think the odds would be a Labour government out of that.
Well, certainly that's what the polls are showing. I think there's something like 30 points ahead. Look, it takes 100 MPs to put Johnson on the ballot paper. I just don't know, but I think it is possible. And I think if he's in a runoff with Sunak, we see already how the Conservative Party members voted the last time. I mean, to vote for Johnson this time would be such an act of self-harm. I just couldn't see it. But I have to understand, I do not see the world as they do. And that's what it comes down to. And Paul hit the nail on the head there. So if enough MPs back Johnson and he's in a race with Sunak, I think he might well be the next Prime Minister. And that's the way I see it playing out, because so much of this, Katie, has its roots in Brexit. Remember, get Brexit done. That was his slogan. As far as he's concerned, that's unfinished business. And he wants to get back in there and get Brexit done and finished. And trust, like her, love her, pity her, whatever. She did at least try to have better relations with the EU and with Ireland. I was actually surprised to see Chris Heaton-Harris, you know, insisting that time has run out on the Northern Assembly, and if they don't get their act together, there will be an election. And certainly in Brussels, the vibes were warmer. So from that perspective, you know, that part of her 44 days was positive. But I would not be surprised to see Boris Johnson as the next UK Prime Minister. I hope I don't, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Minister.
Yeah, just like whoever wins this contest is going to have a huge challenge to try and unify the Conservative Party, because they're really badly split, and that's not good for Britain, or if they can't get that. And I think whoever wins is going to have a very divided party and is going to have a number of party members against them, which will make it very difficult.
And in terms of all those, that agri end of things in particular that you'd be talking to, you know, on an ongoing basis, what are they hoping for out of this?
Stability. You know, obviously...
But is that a general election? Is that Sunak? What is that?
You know, business people don't tend to get too involved in politics. What they want is they want the massive swings in the value of sterling to stop happening. That's what they want. They want stability, whatever will bring that about. You know, and we need this for Northern Ireland as well, for all the reasons that have been outlined here. Those businesses don't like uncertainty, and there's been huge uncertainty in the last while. And hopefully the appointment of a new Prime Minister now will help bring about that certainty.
And again, in talking about certainty and Gregory Campbell there, not able to call really, but saying we are looking more and more now like nothing will be done about this and we will kind of crash into another election situation, assembly election situation,
you know,
in the north.
Really what we want to see as a government is...
Do you think that's most seats. Likely now?
I wouldn't predict that. I would say really what we want to see is MLAs take their seats in Stormont and, you know, get back to having that there, being in charge of their own affairs. And that's really what we'd like to see. And hopefully a focus can go back on that as soon as new Prime Minister is in place.
Okay. Yes, but Katie, the one thing I'd say there is it doesn't matter who's Prime Minister, the challenge still remains. I mean, Britain's economy has slowed down. Yes, COVID, yes, cost of living, but the impact of Brexit is really feeding through. And I was just looking at some figures this week in the Financial Times where they looked at, you know, the ratio of trade to GDP. And in the G7, Britain would have always been somewhere in the middle. They are now 7 points below the worst performer and 20 points below the best performer. And, you know, Liz Truss knew she needed to kickstart her economy. But because their position is so poor, unfunded tax cuts, unfunded anything, the market knows Britain will not grow next year because it's not in a position to, especially where trade is concerned. So whoever comes in will not only have a fractured Tory party to deal with, it will have a massive, he or she will have a massive challenge trying to stabilise the pound so that the government can continue to borrow on the markets, etc. This is tough stuff ahead.
Indeed. Okay, we will take a break.